greet you in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here this morning. I don't know if you have been blessed already, but I have. I just want to bless you, Myron, for sharing those words this morning. I was very, very deeply blessed by those words of the average Christian versus the normal Christian. Just I didn't think of those words in that way, and just brought out a very beautiful example of what a normal Christian should be. I just want to bless you for that, Myron. That was very, very good. And when you read there in Deuteronomy, I thought you were maybe going to snatch some of the words. I didn't know. At least I was looking in some of the verses there in Deuteronomy as well. Hopefully I can touch on some of that as well. But just it was a blessing just to see how God led you there. Anyway, I trust that all of us are here anticipating to hear from God, not just from Stephen here. So I trust God to use me as a vessel this morning. I am a human just like the rest of you. I have nothing, no, I don't, probably have less degrees than some of you. Actually, I know I do have less degrees as far as education is concerned. But trust that God can use my little morsel of those two or five loaves and two fishes maybe. This morning I'd like to draw our attention to the story in Genesis. If you would, you can turn to that. I'm going to paraphrase a good bit of it because of time, but I would like to look at that story and see what the Lord has for us in light of that. Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, actually, all three chapters there. It's a very well-known story. Actually, many religions, even the Islamic religion and I think many other religions recognize this this happening, interestingly. Some, I know, in this day and age have tried to undermine that, but I don't. We believe that God's word is true and that those things happened. I'd like to look at Genesis chapter 6. Let's look at that verse there. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 to 8. Genesis 6, verse 5 to 8. It says, "And God saw the wickedness of man, that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, and for it repenteth me that I have made man." And so here we see a very, very sad picture. Just before the flood, Noah was there, of course, but God saw that there was a lot of wickedness. And today, we again, part of the thing that I think is good for us to look at that, prophecy talks about it as it is going to be in the end days, the last days, when Jesus comes, as it was back there. In Noah's time, that's how it's going to be in the end times. And so I think it's good for us to think about that. It's good for us to be reminded of that. He says here that there was wickedness. Everything that man was doing, wickedness of man was very, very great. And every imaginable thing, all the imagination of the thoughts of his heart were evil continually. Everything that they even thought, even things that were created to be good, even things that were created and meant to be good, they were converting that or inventing things and imagining things that were evil, totally actually abominable. They were an abomination before God. I don't know what all those things were, but apparently God, it brought a big it was a cloud that was between man and God, tremendously so. So much so that he was like, you know what, I would like to just start completely over. I don't know if any of you have done a project and you're like, you're partway through and you're like, this is not working out. Let's just wipe it and start over. It almost seems like God wanted to do that with his creation, excepting he didn't destroy man completely. He did save one out of that. Quickly passing over a lot of the words that God and Noah and all that had going on there. I'll jump into chapter 7, verse 21. This is after the flood. So he wiped the earth. Noah, of course, and his family, they found grace in the sight of God and in the eyes of the Lord. And God saved them miraculously. God delivered them, but God used God cursed the earth, or he used an object of his creation to bring a curse upon humanity. After this, in chapter 7 there, we read that all the flesh, everything in verse 21, died. Everything there in verse 21 it says, and all the, verse 22 says, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, and even man, in verse 21 it talks about that a little bit, and every living substance was destroyed from upon the, which was upon the face of the ground, both man, cattle, and creeping things, and so forth. In verse 24 it says, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. To me that speaks of complete destruction. Complete destruction. And the reason I'm pointing this out, I want you to catch, and I'm afraid I'm not making the picture quite bad enough, how bad this really was, because I don't think we can see the beauty of what God makes out of this later then, if we don't see the badness, the sad destruction and so forth. Then if we go on to chapter 8, verse 20, I'm skipping over a lot of this story. So take your time and read it sometime. It'd be good probably. In verse 20 it says, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took every, chapter 8, verse 20, in case I didn't make that clear. He built an altar and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. And so God made that promise. And now I missed getting the verse that I wanted in light of that as well. Sorry, I missed that. Maybe I'll just have to just say it. I thought in there it was, it mentioned the thing about him putting the bow in the sky, and thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, so in chapter 9, verse 13, it says, and this is in light of the covenant that he made with man. You know, he said, I won't do this. In verse in chapter 8, what we just looked at, God says, I will no more again do this. I would never again will I do curse the ground anymore for man's sake. And he made that promise, but he gave us something that we could see, something that you and I can connect with, something that you and I can, it's not just some theory out there. He gave us something that we can look at. And so in chapter 9, verse 13, it says, Actually, let's start in verse 12, and it says, "And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I made make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass that when I bring a cloud over the earth, that bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I will remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh and upon the earth." And anyway, just last night we were on our way home from Murfreesboro, and we saw one of these things. We saw this bow. It was just a short little thing because the rainstorm wasn't very big, but just we were coming from the west and looking east. And there was a storm, just a small little storm over Smithville area, and just a little short little nice rainbow there. But that's something we take so for granted. Here he says, "I do set my bow in the cloud for a token." And he says in verse 14, "And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." In verse 15, "And I will remember my covenant." I don't think we have to wonder if God remembered his covenant last night. He says he's going to do that. And just that beautiful promise, God is going to remember his covenant with his people. And I believe, especially for the believer, and I know that's for actually for all humanity, God is not going to ever bring a flood like he did. Now, he brings smaller floods maybe and so forth, but he's remembering that, the beauty of that. So this morning, the title of my message is God's Promises Fulfilled. So that's the subject that we want to look at this morning. Just God. How many of you believe that God kept his word? Does anybody think that he one time missed it? What about Hurricane Katrina and while the flooding happened there? Did God still keep his word? He did, didn't he? He destroyed some. There were some people that lost their lives through all those that flooding. But never again did he destroy all of earth. The point that I want to make on that is God's word, God's promise. There's nothing going to change that. God's promise is going to be, it's going to happen exactly how God promised. And what God said he would do, we don't have to, it doesn't matter what dilemma, what situation we find ourselves in, there's many, many promises in this book. There's many, many promises. We're not even going to touch hardly the surface of many of the promises that are in this, in the Bible here. But there are many of them, and not one of them, not one of them, not one of them fell short. Not one of them. And none of them will. God's going to keep his word. God's going to keep his word. God's promise is fulfilled. What God promised, he did. And what God promised, he will do. He will do. It's even here in 2023. And that's, I want us to get that. Last evening we were talking to a couple there outside of Goodwill, and one was professing Christian, and the other one was I'm not quite sure how devout of a Muslim, but some claimed to be a Muslim, and But especially the, quote, Christian, she was the lady, Jessa, or Jess, I think it was her name. She was, I think, a bit confused in her Christianity and what she believed in God. She was actually, I think, seeking, wanting answers and so forth. But she wasn't sure, you know, how much to believe some of these things. She was all worried about, for instance, the Armageddon, and she was worried about the mark of the beast, and is this actually going to happen? And I was like, yes, we find that in the Word, we find that in the Bible. You know, I don't know how it all is going to happen, but it's going to happen. And here this morning, we're talking about God's promises fulfilled. What God promised, He will do. He's going to do it. It even if it doesn't make sense, even if it's scary, we don't know how He's going to do it. God's word is going to be what He sends it to do. He's going to accomplish that. Turn your Bibles to Joshua. I'd like for us to read there just a few words. Joshua chapter 21. If we are here this morning wondering if God's going to keep His, or if His word is true, or if what He promised us is actually for us, or if it's just some for for some previous believers, or if it's for some other more spiritual people, God's promises are for us today. Here in Joshua chapter 21, verse 43-45, says, "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land that which He sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein." God kept His word. God kept His word. They did that. In verse 44 it says, "And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that He sware unto their fathers." Again, He swore to them. He promised them. He said this is going to happen. And then he gave them this rest that He said He was going to do. "And there stood not a man of all their enemies before Him, and the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel, and it came to pass." Everything that God had promised. So we read in the New Testament that if we ask of God anything, He will give it to us. This morning we heard the need to pray for those young men that are suffering from cancer. Does God hear us today? Does God care? Can God help? Will God help? Will God keep His promises? Will God keep His promise? He will. He will. He doesn't always answer. That's where I think we sometimes get it confused. He doesn't always answer the way that we think, or the way that we think would be best. But He, in His all-knowing, understanding wisdom, will answer. He will answer a sincere heart, a heart that is turned towards Him. That verse comes to my mind, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land." That's for us, brothers. That's for us. If we will do our part, God will do His part. God will do His part. Those promises are for us. Yeah, that lady that I was talking to, Sean and I were talking to, she was terrible scared that what if we don't have enough food? You know, I don't want to suffer hunger. We don't have to worry about those things if our confidence and faith is in the Lord. We don't have to worry about those things if we are trusting in God, because God said He'll take care of us. God said He will do that. We might go hungry. Right? We might go hungry, but God will meet the needs, what we have. maybe just a few interesting things concerning the rainbow. This beautiful thing that God made in the sky. Now, I only have one nice color, and it's called black up here, which is not very rainbowish. But if you can just imagine with me, you might have to imagine tremendously. But this, I know, we often think of raindrops being like this, I think, something like that maybe, which is not, if I understand right, is not quite correct. I think they're more circular when they're falling from the sky. But be that as it may, the sunlight, sun is shining over here, and it comes this way, shines in there, and refracts and reflects both, actually. I didn't do that quite right. It does a refraction and also reflects. So it has a little bend. I barely made that big enough. And there's more rays that come in here. Each one of those rays does a little slightly different bend. And you have a bunch of different colors in what we see even light here. We mostly see it as white because it's often all together. But a raindrop, the beauty of God's... I don't know if God had this in a raindrop before. I know this is the first time that it rained. Noah's flood there, and when the earth was covered with water and God gave that promise. But I know that if he hadn't created that before, he made that the water work that way afterwards at least. But they say that that the sunlight, what you see is perfectly at 42 degrees from where the sun is shining. Sun is shining here, 42 degree angle here is where you'll see all these colors, red, yellow, orange, I forget what all they are. You can learn those colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And there's many, I think, even shades of that in between all that. But God takes that light, those lights are combined in that one sunshine beam that you have there. They're all there, but with the water, it separates those spectrums, the different little pieces, the little rays of light. You have red. Red, I think, is a long wave, if I remember right. and violet, I think, is the shortest, which they're nano. I won't even explain it because it doesn't all make sense. But wavelengths, you have light has wave, just like radio waves. There are some that are really, really small and some that are really, really big. And the red ones and the violet ones are different like that. But so that we can see that, God made that those things refract in one little droplet of water. They reflect they refract, so it splits it, and then they reflect on the backside of that water droplet, on the backside there, and it reflects back at us. And that's what we see when we see that. But there's thousands of those little droplets that make up one big rainbow. I'm just pointing out this beautiful little thing that God, a beautiful little, it's a beautiful big thing that God has done to show us his promise, to show us in 2023 his promise way back almost 4,000 years ago, give and take there a little bit, 4,000 to 5,000. God is doing that same thing, and the only reason he wanted to show us that rainbow last night is to remind me and my wife and children and anybody else that was looking, I'm keeping my promise. I'm keeping my promise. You notice that? It's a very beautiful thing. There's a whole lot more to that whole thing. Very, very beautiful. When you see a double rainbow, it's because it's because some of that reflection is because some of that reflection gets shines on the backside of these rainbows and or the backside of these water droplets, shines somehow does a, another creates another light source, and then you see that. And something that I learned in studying this just here this weekend, looking into it a little bit, is it reverses the colors when on the outside one. The outside one has. On the inside circle, the red is the topmost. On the next level, the lighter one is red on the innermost. It reverses those colors because of the reflection. God did that. Why? To tell you and I that he keeps his promise. He keeps his promise. He did all those things. I know that's a... It's a whole. I have a whole page of scientific things, and I'm not going to bore you with those things. But I'd encourage you to look into that. Look into that and be amazed at God's wonder of showing you and I personally in 2023, of July of 2023, he's keeping his promise. He's keeping his promise, and God will keep his promise. That's the same God that said all these promises in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5. We went through these, Brother Jariah went through these here recently. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those promises are not just something out there. Brothers, sisters, those promises are for you and I. Those promises are for you and I. God gave us some things that we can see with our eyes, some things we can't necessarily see here and now, but we must take them by faith, and God will. He's given us enough of those things that we can see with our eye, I believe, to maybe reconfirm, reassure some of the things we can't see. There's many things you and I can't see. We don't know. There's a whole big spiritual battle that's going on for your and my soul. But God is going to do his part. God is going to keep his promise. And he said, no one can snatch you out of my Father's hand. Nobody can do that. And he's going to keep his promise. Nobody can do that. None of us has to fear that. We don't even have to fear that. Now, we can walk away from God. But none of us has to even be afraid that God's going to drop us, make us lose our place beside him. God's promises are sure. I want to impress that on our minds, and just to me, it's just special to think of it that all these years. It's one thing to think of it that God gave that promise. He put that bow in the sky, that rainbow in the sky for Noah, for him to see it. But what about the rest of us? What about the rest? He did it for us throughout all generations until the end of the world. He's going to do that. He's going to keep doing that. Anytime that the rain comes in the sky, he's going to keep doing that. And another thing that really stood out to me is when I was thinking about the rainbow last night, is how this very droplet, this pretty thing that like we see as a pretty thing now with that rainbow at least, that thing was a curse to the ground, to the earth. That very thing, the very object that destroyed the earth, God turned it around. God turned it around to be an element used, a vessel used, an object used to communicate his promise to us. It was a beautiful thought that struck me last night as I was meditating on this, just the beauty of God's promise there to us as his people. He took the very object that was a curse, that very object, and he turned it around and said, this is what I'm going to use to remind you of my blessing, of my promise, of me keeping my promise. It's amazing. If I would do that, I would take every sight of a water droplet out of the way. I would be like, I never want to remind you about the bad again. I'd want to wipe that all away. But no, God took the took the terrible situation, the terrible thing, the thing that was totally overwhelming, and turned that around to be a blessing. I'm not sure what God wants to do with that thought, but I wonder if there's some terrible things in our own life today. Some very terrible things in our own life that we may be facing. And God wants to take those things with the beauty of His sunshine, wants to have that penetrate our heart and turn it into something beautiful. I don't know if you get that picture. That's beautiful. And it's beyond you and I. It's something that you and I can't craft. It's something you and I can't muster up. It's something that you and I can't do of ourselves. It needs the power of God, the miracle of God, the wonder of God, and may He be glorified in that as well. Also, turn just a few chapters back to Joshua 23. Verse 14 and 15, this is Joshua now speaking to the children of Israel. After, this was just before he was going to pass on from this earth. In verse 14 there, he says, "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. And you know in all your hearts that and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing has failed thereof." Before the other chapter, I believe it was God was mentioning that as something that everything that he had spoken came to pass, and now Joshua himself is recognizing that, and he's saying, you know what, God kept his word, everything. very, very beautiful. Here's some verses that you don't need to turn to, but I'd just like to quickly pass over them. Jeremiah 1, chapter 1. Verse 9 to 12, actually, I'm just going to read verse 12. It says, "Then the Lord said unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." And basically the thought that I wanted to capture out of that is that God, He's going to hasten His word to accomplish what He's going to do and what He wanted to do. I believe it's the ESV version, says, "Then the Lord said unto me, Ye have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." And so I don't know, back to this whole promise that God had, I don't think God needs any reminders, but he's fussing over those things. He's trying to make sure that that always happens. And I see that there a little bit in Jeremiah there, where I will hasten my word to perform it. I'm gonna watch over it to see that it happens. Lamentations 2:17 also says, "He hath fulfilled his word that he commanded in the days of old. He hath thrown down, he hath not pitied, he hath caused thine enemy to rejoice over thee, he hath set up a horn, the horn of thine adversaries." And this was a promise to the curse that was going to be on the people of Israel when they forsook him. Also in Ezekiel, just really quickly, I'd like to read in Isaiah 55 then, but Ezekiel, just a verse there, as again, verse 28, part of it there, says, "There shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done. Actually, I should probably just read all of that verse. Ezekiel 12:26-28. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. He prophesieth of times that are far off. Therefore say unto them, Thus saith the Lord, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. In other words, the people of Israel were saying that the prophet Ezekiel, or the prophet, the man of God, what he was saying, it's going to be something for way in the future. It's going to be something way in the distance, and hopefully I don't have to face it. This lady that I was talking to yesterday, she also was like, that's not going to happen in my lifetime, is it? That's not going to happen in my lifetime. And here they were concerned that these prophecies that Ezekiel said, those aren't going to happen in our time. That's going to be way, way in the future. But God says, no, it's going to be now. It's going to be happening very, very shortly. I know if our heart is not right with God, it should cause us to tremble. It should cause us to tremble because of what some of the promises are also on evil. But if our heart is right with God, we can experience the rest and a peace that we know those things are going to happen, but we don't have to be, it shouldn't bring a distress there, because if we're close to God and we know Him and He knows us, it brings a calm, a peace, a rest, and we know that everything's well with our soul. That's a very beautiful place to be. And if you don't find yourself there this morning, God, you still have breath, you're still living, and God still gives us opportunity to respond. Now, I'll catch up with you in Isaiah there. Isaiah chapter 55. Maybe we could just all stand, if you don't mind. I'd like to read this whole chapter, and don't want anybody to go to sleep when I read it. And I'd like to, there's some very deep nuggets in this chapter here, and I know I'm not going to catch them nearly all here. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Now, these are promises. Try to think about these promises that God has spread throughout this whole chapter. Incline your ear unto me, and hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not. Thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. Another promise. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. No question. God's going to keep his promise. For my thoughts, verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall not return unto me void. In other words, it's not going to come back without accomplishing what it's going to do, what it was sent forth to do. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You may be seated. Thank you for standing there. Promises. He's inviting us to come and buy. He's inviting us to buy with no money. He's inviting us to do that. And he says, and let your, I'm sorry, hearken diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear to me and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. Those are definite. It's shall. You will. It's not a question. You shall. You know, the weather forecasters, they say, well, it's an 80% chance of thunderstorms this afternoon, which I don't think that's not what they're saying today. But if they do that, we don't know. It may or it may not rain. And even sometimes when they say 100%, it might be just a little bit of rain or barely any rain. You know, sometimes it's not shall. It's they think it will. They think it will. But this here, God's word is different. God's word is not the same. It's not like that. There's a chance that you could live. There's a chance that you could. That you could experience the fatness, like it says, that your soul's going to delight itself in fatness. And what I see there is a satisfaction. Your desires are going to be met. Your desire, if you come to the Lord in that way, you seek Him in that way, you will live. If you incline your ear and come unto me and hear, your soul shall live. Seek ye the Lord while ye may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and so forth, and return unto God. And he will have, it's not just he might have, perhaps he will, maybe he could have mercy on you. We'll have to consider that a little bit, because of all the bad things that you've done. You know, God's going to have to sit down with his counselors there in heaven. He's going to have to consider your case. No. No. He says, if the wicked forsake his way. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how badly you have failed God. If you forsake your way, if the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts, this is the unrighteous man's thoughts, not God's thoughts, but the unrighteous man's thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. If we do that, he will have mercy upon him. God will. There is no question. God will have mercy when we do this. It's not perhaps. He will have. He's going to keep his promise. He's done that in the past, and he will do that today. He's going to do that. He will do that. He will have mercy unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God's going to pardon our sin, and he's going to forgive those things. He's going to forgive them. You did those bad things. You did those things, and we did those things. We,
Romans says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And every one of us is guilty. Every one of us is guilty. But every one of us also, this promise is for us. This promise is for us, every one of us. Do you see the colors in the rainbow? Do you see those colors? Spiritually, I'm talking about now. The dilemma, the curse, the sin, the things that have brought brought humanity under, and God wants to shine His love into our hearts. God wants to do that. Of course, the beauty is not anything but from God. It's not from us, but God wants to take that whole thing and our heart. If it's yielded to Him, if our heart is yielded to Him, God wants to change us, and God wants to. That makes me think of Romans, I believe it is also, where can't think of the exact words now. He wants that we would be transformed into the image of God by the renewing of our minds. As we read the Word of God, as we turn our hearts toward God, God will transform us. He will convert us. He will redeem us. He will change us into a child of God. God's promises, none of them are going to fall short. None of them will fail. All the promises that He has said He will accomplish. Also in Deuteronomy, let's turn to Deuteronomy yet. Deuteronomy chapter 11. So we have a whole bunch of promises for blessing and so forth. Some of those things we read there in Isaiah. But I believe there's also promises of a curse if we don't hear from God. And I think there's it's important for us to just make, I think for us to look at that just a little bit this morning. It feels really good to us when we think of the promises, the covenant that God made with the rainbow, He made that covenant with Noah and with the generations to come, and you know, that's a blessing. What a blessing. We don't have to worry about having another great big flood like that. That's a rich blessing. And if we can focus on only the promises where it's a blessing, only where where life is good, you know, and in Joshua, there we were reading, you know, God kept all His promises of there failed not any good thing that God had spoken to the house of Israel. But there's also a promise for a curse in our life if we don't obey Him. So there's also a promise there, and God's going to keep His promise there just as much as He keeps the promise when we turn our hearts to Him. That's a sobering thing, because God's judgment is also there. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, He says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse." He's setting that before us, and I don't think anybody can take one or the other and shove it in our face, or take one or the other and take it away from us. Nobody else can. Nobody can do that, excepting God Himself. He offers that to us, and it's because of our choice that He gives us what we choose. Verse 27, "A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day." And that blessing, brothers and sisters, again, I just want to remind us, that blessing can nobody take away from you and I. If we obey the commandments of the Lord, He says, a blessing is there. A blessing is there. That promise God will keep. If we obey the commandments of the Lord our God, and a curse, in verse 28, and a curse will, if
if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you this day, to go after other gods which you have not known. There's also a curse. There's also, and that's also very sure. It's also very true. The whole thing of, like I was mentioning earlier, that couple that we were talking to, they were discussing this whole this little bit of the Armageddon and the promises there in Revelation and the terrible things that are going to happen to Christians and unbelievers, just the whole mess that this world is going to be in, and then at the end, of course, Christians being saved even out of this world and delivered and so forth. But some of those terrible things, those things, in the middle of all those things, I believe if we obey the commandments of God, there's going to be a blessing and a rest and a for the people of God. God will keep his promises. God is going to protect us. He may not protect us from a bullet, from somebody that comes and wants to shoot us because they're mad, but our soul is protected. We are safe in the arms of Jesus. Even if we die in this world, even if we die from some hostility in that way, that does not take away the safety that we find in the Lord. And that's where our confidence and our faith needs to be turned towards, is towards the Lord. But there's a condition, obedience. Obedience is there. We must obey. It's not just we can't just expect that God's going to pour out his blessing if there's not obedience there. So there is a curse there as well. Also, I believe it's in Ezekiel 33:11. I think it's there. It's a verse that I would have memorized. I should just be able to quote it. Yeah, says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" In other words, God is longing for that, to pour out his blessing. Also, it makes me think of other verses where he says his eyes are going throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. God desires and longs to pour out his blessing on you and me. He's longing for that. He's wanting to keep, and he made a promise what he would do if he would find those people. If he's looking for those people, and he made a promise, and he's going to keep his promise. He's going to keep his promise. God is going to keep his promise. In closing, two more verses. I'd like to actually two more verses, two more passages maybe. Philippians chapter 1. Turn to that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. Philippians 1, 3 to 7. "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And until the day of Jesus Christ, I believe, is until Jesus comes to take his children home, is I think what that's referring to. Even, or until we end, till our the end of our life. "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are partakers of my grace." But being confident there in verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ, until the day of Jesus Christ. So just a word of encouragement. If you've allowed God to start that good work in you, God is able to finish it. God is able to complete that. God will keep his promise. He will do that in your own heart and in your own life. And he wants to do that. And just another verse in Galatians 6:9. It's a very familiar verse. You don't have to turn to it. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Another promise. We're going to reap if we faint not. And this is talking about reaping blessings, reaping the blessing of doing well. We will reap those blessings. So my encouragement is, let's put our faith in God. And remember, He keeps His promises. We try to keep our promises, but sometimes circumstances make that they don't can't happen. I know just the other week, I think it was maybe earlier, I forget if it was this week or last week, I talked to our neighbor just up the road from us and just mentioned something about going, and we maybe clean up his tree that he has in his yard, and of course circumstances and things like that change sometimes, anyway, just the point that I want to make is the importance of keeping our word, how we look at how important that is for us to keep our word, and largely because of what I had promised, I felt a little bit of obligation yesterday. We need to go and take care of that. We need to go take care. I didn't promise him necessarily it would be this week or next week or whatever, but here soon. So, you know, that's what we as humans, we try to do that. We try to keep our word. Well, God is not like us. God will keep His word. God keeps His promises. Everything that He said, when He said it will happen, it's going to happen. And even the timing, all those things are going to be there for us. So let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's turn our faith, our eyes to Him. May God help us to just again, maybe in a fresh way, see that covenant that He's made. I know I was talking a little bit about the rainbow and the flood, but I think there's a whole bunch more in the promises of God that God has covenanted, would you say, with us as His people, that He desires to pour out and to show us those the beauty and the blessing that He has for the people of God. May God bless you.